for the first time in a while, Lima is upset with Kevin Stefanski. Or you're critical of Kevin Stefanski. Well, hell, it's your emotion. You go ahead and tell everybody.
Well, yeah, end of the first half, they had a situation where they could have. What was the field goal that they had already connected on? It was in the
56 yards.
56. Okay, so it's not like the wind or the rain, snow, weather was not going to be a factor on, you know, your ability to try to get something, you know, on the board right before the end of the first half. And they were sitting there again with the opportunity to kick a field goal that they, you saw points were going to be at a premium again all season. You can just assume that's the case for the Browns all year because, you know, 20 points is that magical threshold that they're unable to hit. Well, they could have used three more without a doubt. Could have changed the entire complexion of the game. Instead, they opt to pin the Raiders back, which they did. They pinned them back again. And I understand against the Jags, they turned that into points. You know, against Gardner Minshew a season ago, they were able to, you know, turn that into points. And so I almost wonder if Stefanski was thinking that Myles Garrett, especially goal line defense, is such a weapon that he was opting to use that for the points. But you got to kick the field goal there. You just have to. You got to trust your field goal kicker. And so here's Stefanski explaining away why they opted to punt.
Late in the first half, why the punt over 57-yard field goal?
Yeah, we just felt confident in that moment, just keeping them pinned deep. You know, obviously, Dustin's a guy that we certainly have confidence in, but we want to always be smart there, too.
How long would that have been again?
They were at the 40 when they punted. So they were at the Las Vegas 40. So it would have been a 57 yard.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, I agree with that.
And I get it. There's the risk reward of you're giving up field position because of where they spot the football if you miss the field goal. But that is a weapon. I know you missed an extra point, but he had already converted a very long field goal. So I don't understand. First of all, everything has to go right for you to pin them back. You know, you have to rely on the punt to be good. Why wouldn't you rely on the field goal to be good? So someone's going to have to explain that to me. I thought that was a major gaffe. And 3 points would have meant the world of a difference in a game like that.
Well, especially because they're getting the ball coming out at half. And, you know, you want to be able to get them. Because, again, they connected on a Daniel Carlson 34-yarder. So it only would have tied it up instead of taking the lead. And you answer the 10-point swing, you get in there maybe, like if it goes best-case scenario, it gets in there 13-10. I was wondering if he was just thinking, not just the Myles Garrett good and goal line or anything like that. I think it turns into, well, you didn't want to give them a short field. Is he worried about his defense in this moment? With attempting a long field goal, 57 yards, they're not guarantees. I know he's only missed one, Dustin Hopkins has. They're not guarantees, but if you do that with like a minute left to go, well, then you're getting a swing. Plus, you know, maybe he's just playing it too conservatively because I start to think about me turtling up in this situation. Okay, Tone, if you go for it, you miss the field goal. You got a minute left. If you give them an easy touchdown, now it's a 17-point swing going into halftime, and they're getting the ball back. Even if you give up a field goal, it's a 13-point swing, and they're getting the ball back. I just think he wanted them to think about not doing anything as far as getting the ball down the field. And they made a couple of plays defensively, and then they just decided to take a knee in the end on 3rd and 12 and get in at halftime. So it ended up working out in that sense because it's just the thought of, well, if we can just get some things fixed. I mean, I understand totally what you're saying because it's like, well, we could have just buried a 57-yarder, then kicked off, and then who knows where they would have had the football, and then probably at their own 30 because we're just kicking it through the end zone here. So if they would have had the ball at their own 30, are they going to be able to drive the length of the field in the time necessary to do it? 216-474-0092. Josh and Berea. Josh, you're first up on the Fan.
All right. Well, I don't know what to even say. I'm hearing that.
Well, you're on hold for quite a while. What do you have to say, Josh? Go ahead.
I'm just saying, because there's more information now. I'm hearing you guys say.
You've been on hold for how long? Know what you're going to say when you get on the air.
Let's go. Oh, boys.
We got six other people here waiting to get on, and we don't know what to say. Let's go.
Hey, I'll make the rules.
I'm in hurry-up offense this morning.
Dave in Macedonia.
Need to put points on the board.
I'm going. Dave, go right ahead. Go.
Yeah, I always have something to say. You know that. Kind of on the same page, Ken. Last week, I was proud of you when Mary Kay said, I think he sees the field. He don't see the field. Come on. I've watched 50 years of football. He doesn't see the field. But I'm proud of you for stepping up and saying that.
Well, thank you.
You're right, and I'm proud of you this morning about the inquisitory comment about Barry. 31 picks. I got four good ones, four on hold, and a lot of bad ones.
Well, you know, some people called me out on it because I said earlier today, I go, you know, I'm starting to think. It's not like I'm starting to think. But when you say when I say these things, it's like, well, you got to be careful. I got to be careful about some things I say, because once you say them, you can't take them back, and then you open things up to investigation. So it's like, if I say a player sucks, flat out sucks, that's a harsh thing to say. If I say that a player is lazy, that's a harsh thing to say. If I'm questioning picks, well, there also has to be time given to those picks. But damn, Dave, I mean, how long have we had? And we're still looking for defensive linemen. We're still looking for wide receivers.
I mean, just to his defense, I mean, because you gave up seven top 100 picks, right? They're top 100 picks, right?
Yeah.
Third-round pick is a 98. So, I mean, that's seven top 100 picks.
But even though
up.
Everybody wants to blame the owner of the football team, I know who was pushing for these deals, so he knew what he was getting into.
Yeah. Was it Barry?
Again, we've been over this many times. I can't say for sure, but I've said it how many times? At least a dozen times, Dave. I've said it in the last 3 years. Is like they had to be sold on the idea of moving on from Baker Mayfield. The owner liked Baker Mayfield a whole bunch. He had to be sold on the idea. And over the course of time, it did change over the course of time because things were not good between him and the rest of that locker room by the time that season ended. No one wants to admit that now because he's doing so well in Tampa Bay, but the truth's the truth. I can't go away from what it was.
Yeah, I just don't, I just think, Baker aside, the sellout for Watson is quite a sellout. I mean, that is a sellout.
Well, I mean, Dave, I understand where you're going with this. And it sucks. It's an unfortunate thing that I have to go through here. And Dave, thank you for the call, where I see Baker played well. Joe Flacco played well. I think it's even more poetic that Deshaun Watson played, I thought, well, and they lost the football game. And no, I can't sit there and go over the freeze frame over and over because, again, I agree with what Lima says. I think it's relatively unfair to go over those freeze frames like that in the fourth quarter and in the final moment. But I had to say, hey, this is the last chance. You got to get rid of the football somehow and give somebody a chance to make a play. You can't just tuck it and take the sack. You can't do that. So it's the final play.
That's poor awareness.
The only chance you were going to get, you had to let the ball go. And if you throw a pick, I'll defend it. I'll defend it. If you throw one up, no one can get open, I'll defend it. It's easy for me to say that now in hindsight, but damn it, I have to. If this ever happens again, I'll defend it. You got to give somebody a chance to make a play. Daniel and Solon, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Daniel.
How you doing?
We're doing okay, Daniel. Go ahead.
I just want to say, that caller from Georgia, I think he's absolutely wrong. Deshaun Watson played the best game he could possibly play with what he had yesterday. Yes, you got to make it. It's a collective team thing. We had drop passes. We had missed field goals. Those was killers in that game. And then he's going to say, well, does Patrick Mahomes put up that kind of game? No, he's not. You know why? Because Patrick Mahomes has a whole slew of things that Deshaun Watson don't have. He got Andy Reid. He got a hell of a offensive line. So all I'm saying is I thought Deshaun Watson played the best he possibly could play.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Daniel. Patrick Mahomes is a hell of a lot better than Deshaun Watson. Like, we can't make that comparison.
Well, exactly. That's why I said that Georgia caller, I don't know.
Yeah, but we can't just sit there and say, well, he's got Reed, he's got all these things. The Georgia caller, Daniel, you're going to have to get used to this. If they keep losing football games, and even if he plays well, if they start winning, or if they start losing, even in spite of his play, like, it's just going to be the same thing. We're just the Houston Browns, because like, that's what they were last time. When he was good in 2020, they were a four-win team that were terrible. They wanted to fire Bill O'Brien, then they did fire Bill O'Brien. I mean, these are still the things that we'll have to do. To fans, like I can talk about falling in love with the process and everything like that, Daniel. You know that results are the only thing that matters. So if I don't get the results, I feel like I've wasted my time as a fan.
You're right. You have to get the results, but you have to have a collective team. They're down to their third-string line, offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They're struggling down there.
I understand.
He's back there running for his life.
I understand.
Everybody else got time to throw the ball.
But that's why I said he played well, though. I'm not even fighting you. I thought he played well, but it did to a fan. If they lose the ball game, what am I to say to a fan that's still upset about losing a game? That's what fans do. They get mad about losing.
You got to look at the whole perspective.
The whole perspective is they're 1-3. They're paid to win football games. That's what they are.
Everybody's paid to win, not just Deshaun. The whole team's paid to win.
Uh-huh. I said they, meaning all of them. They're paid to win games.
Yep.
That's all. Daniel, it's frustrating. I know. And ultimately, I agree with you. I do. I know we're getting nitpicky because we're all upset because they lost. And thank you very much for the call. I'm as frustrated as anybody. But that's where I'm stuck at. Like, I had a game where the quarterback played well. I can't make an argument for him because they lost the game. They lost the game. And they found Browns ways, old Browns ways to do it, which I hate. I just want to throw up in a bucket after I say something like that because that's something I hate. When people say it's like, you haven't watched games, you don't even watch games to begin with, do you? It's just on in the background and you say you're a Browns fan. But when you watch that game, it's like, yeah, you found old, terrible ways to lose the football.
That's the really
game.
Hard part about it is the Rodney McLeod, the fumble and the recovery for a touchdown. Like, that's not old Browns. That's something different. That was a team making
missing
a play.
Missing the extra point afterwards is old Browns. Yeah, that's old Browns. Yeah, making a play and then immediately doing something that everybody in the room goes, that's going to cost us later on. I mean, did you hear Nathan? Did you hear Nathan? I mean, Nathan's been here 13 years, just as long as we have. Do we have the that Nathan had? It was a groan that was more guttural than I think Doug ever had. And Doug had seen a lot of bad Browns games. So Rodney McLeod making a great play and scoring a touchdown and JOK causing the fumble, that's great. But when you lose or when you miss an extra point after, we get this.
20-16, and now Dustin Hopkins point after try is up and oh, did he miss it? He missed it wide to the left. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
That's only the sound a guy who's seen a lot of Browns and a lot of Browns games that they found ways to lose. Makes.
Well, you said after the McLeod touchdown, you thought they were going to win. Did you think they were going to lose after the missed extra point?
Hell yeah, I had a bad feeling
after
that.
That was it.
Yes, because I'm looking, Anthony, you had the stupid bobbled pass. Yeah, the holding call did not happen yet. The holding call did not happen yet.
And about the one off the chest of Amari Cooper.
They're running up. I'm going, man, it's just fate. You start to blame fate. It's not fair. There's no reason to it. But you start to look at fate differently. Like, you guys are just going to find ways to just lose the game. We're going to find ways. Last year, you found ways to win. Last year, there was a lot of things that just, it's not where the ball bounced your way. Quite the contrary. Your turnover margins were ridiculous last year. You couldn't get one, and you kept giving the ball up. But things bounced your way. This year, it doesn't happen. And usually, you can't rely on that from year to year. So, I can't say I'm terribly surprised when you complete this great pass to Amari Cooper, and off he goes. Into the wild blue yonder, and we look like it's going to be fantastic. And there's a flag on the play.
That stretch, though, last year, that was a December stretch. Are you saying this team is incapable of doing something like that?
Well, the game they won in Indianapolis where they should have lost happened in what, September?
Right, October. But
it was week six. Week six, so it was October.
But the
You're right.
You mentioned last year. The last year, what we talk about is that December run with Flacco. The question is, can this team, especially they'll have Chubb back by then, they'll have Njoku back by then, do you think they are incapable of being able to do that? A lot of fans do. A lot of fans right now are acting like they can't.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And by the way, I'm not even talking about the Flacco run. I wasn't even mentioning that. No. Like the game against Baltimore where he played like garbage in the first half, as bad as anybody we've ever seen, and then he played really well in the second half, and they came back from 14 down twice and won that football game. Like that's the type of things that I'm talking about. Do you have that in you? Not just as a quarterback. I'm not even worried about the quarterback as of this conversation here with this game. It's not just about the quarterback. It's about the entire team. Do you have it in you again? Or are we just too hurt, too tired, too off schedule?